It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation and welcome to the show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is Kim Munson, MUNSON.com. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And while you're at the website, there's several things to do. Be sure and sign up for our weekly newsletter. You'll get first look at all of our upcoming guests, as well as our most recent podcasts and our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson. Oh, that's the Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcast and our most recent op-eds. While you're there, our voter's guide is there as well. And Rick Turnquist and I spent a lot of time on this. We hope that this will be a good tool for you as you fill out your Colorado ballot. We've gone through each of the questions that's on the Colorado ballot. We've given you the ballot language, the link to any supporting information, whether or not it's a legislative bill or what that is, and then we give you our opinion on that. We also talk a bit about why we make the case to vote Republican this particular election cycle, as well as Emerge. We explain what the Emerge candidate training program is. It's training Democrat women, really far left Democrat women, sets them up to, they've had really tremendous success in elections, but we're shedding light on that as well. And then there were 17 Democrat House of Representative here in Colorado representatives that voted to let people die alone during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus reaction disruption, and it is just cruel. So we have named them as well, and we would suggest that you vote for their opponent on that, because there's just no call for that, Producer Steve. And I always like to say thank you to this great team, but don't you agree?
Absolutely. I'm sorry, you caught me off guard there. I was reading about John Hickenlooper, but I digress.
Yeah, we'll talk about that as well. Let me get through the things that we always like to do every day, and that is, first of all, say thank you to you, Steve, and to our team. That's Zach, Keith, Patty, and Charlie, and to the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. Appreciate all of you immensely, and to each of you listeners. You're treasured, you're valued, you have a purpose. Strive for excellence today. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, your body. And I'm going to add another one in. Take care of your country. It is time to do that. Do your civic duty and take care of your country. Let me tell you what the show is going to look like today. Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors. We'll be talking with him, an update on just what's happening in that business world. Vanessa DeMott is running for House District 29 here in Colorado. We're going to talk with her. Dr. Donna Walter is running for District 52. And, of course, Jason at the bottom of the hour, Jason McBride. And then Richard Barris with Big Data Poll has done a national poll, and that's going to be super interesting. I want to find out, Steve, how they do polling, how they ask the questions. It's going to be fascinating in segments 3 and 4, Steve.
Yeah, I was listening to radio on the way home yesterday, and this was the topic. And the polls are just, I don't know. I just really wish the average citizen was a little bit more savvy to the polling process and the results, because, like, we hear that, you know, Biden's up by X, you know, double-digit points somewhere. It's like, well, how could that be? You know, we're scratching our heads and saying, how could that be? And, you know, the response could be as simple as, well, you just make sure you poll more Democrats.
Right. So it'll be very interesting to talk with him, because in much of his polling, he's seeing that President Trump is going to win. And so I can't wait to talk with him in segments 3 and 4. We've got a lot happening. This next, 28 days we have now, Steve, I think?
Yeah, 28
days. Okay, 28 days. Although in Colorado, the ballots will be mailed first day, possibly this Friday. So within the next week, you should be getting your ballot. If you do not get your ballot, contact your county clerk and make sure that you get your ballot. Of course, vote. Recommend that you have encouraged 10 of your friends to vote as well for these candidates that we're bringing forward. And do not mail your ballot back. Be sure and drop it in either the drop box, those secure drop boxes, or vote in person. But do not mail it back. And then track your vote. Make sure that your vote comes in and that it is counted as well. On the website, we will be doing a great event on Monday, October 19th. It is our Salon Series Voters Guide event over at Water's Edge Winery. You can buy your tickets at my website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com. The tickets are $20 plus a $3 processing fee. The Western Conservative Summit is this Saturday. It is virtual. You can sign up online. It's westernconservativesummit.com. It is from 10 to 3. They will be premiering their movie, America, America, God Shed His Grace on Thee. And then the I'm a Trumpster Minority Bus Tour. We're going to be doing a great fundraiser for them on October 17th. And that will be from 2 to 4 p.m. And stay tuned at my website for more information. That's going to be Saturday, October 17th. It's going to be great fun. Jumping in here on our quotes. Our quote comes from Benjamin Disraeli. He is the first Earl of Beaconsfield, was a British politician of the Conservative Party who twice served as Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. He played a central role in the creation of the modern Conservative Party, defining its policies and its broad outreach. He was born in 1804 and he died in 1881. So, producer Steve, be ready for this because I'm going to actually also give the end quote, the quote that we normally do at the end of the day, just because I wanted to get your comments on that. But his first quote, it said, there's three kinds of lies. There's lies, there's damned lies, and there's statistics. I thought that was somewhat appropriate since we're going to be talking about polling.
How's it go? Figures lie and liars figure. I don't know.
And this is the other one, and I will share this again at the end of the show. But he said this, Steve. He said, the tone and tendency of liberalism is to attack the institutions of the country under the name of reform and to make war on the manners and customs of the people under the pretext of progress. And again, he was born in 1804 and he died in 1881. Can you believe that?
Think of the word progressive. When what you just now quoted, the very last word that he said there was progress, right?
It is, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I thought that was fascinating. Couple of headlines before we get to Chris Cantwell. First of all, President Trump was released from the hospital, and somebody sent me a headline, I think it was CNN, that he said that you should not be afraid of the coronavirus. And the public health officials that have been using their power, their draconian power to shut down this economy, are going crazy, Steve.
I don't know what they expect out of him. I really don't anymore. No matter what he says, they'll tear it down and deconstruct it to the point of, you know, what else did they expect him to say? He is the leader of the country. And to be uplifting and to be supportive, we can't get into it now, but just there's so many people, I'm aware of so many people who are still cowering in their homes, afraid to come out.
And he's saying, do not be afraid of that. Live life. Life is meant to be lived. And I really appreciate that. One other thing, this is from Breitbart. John Hickenlooper, former Democrat governor of Colorado, running for Senate here in Colorado, made some remarks to supporters on a Zoom call on Monday, according to the Washington Free Beacon. He ignored China's recent military saber-rattling and the crackdowns in Hong Kong, according to the report. This is what Hickenlooper said.
Yeah, here's a quote. Go ahead.
They do not want to rule the world, he said on the call. They don't want to dominate. They want to be safe and be respected as one of the great nations of the world, which they are. And we should, I think that's what we should recognize. My goodness gracious.
Talk about rose-colored glasses. Where has he been?
You know, we've had Josh Phillip on a regular basis, and he'll be on every month from the Epoch Times in the China Report. He's an expert on that. China wants to rule the world. So that is absolutely astonishing. If there is a reason to vote for Cory Gardner, it is right there. But let's jump over here to Chris Cantwell. Chris Cantwell, happy Tuesday.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing today?
Good. There is a lot going on out there. What's going on in your world over there at Trans World Business Advisors, Chris Cantwell?
Well, it's still very busy, Kim. We are seeing a lot of deals happen. We are seeing banks do some financing. We're seeing some great businesses come to market and some buyers that are looking to buy these businesses. There's still a if you want to borrow against your 401k, there's no penalty to borrow against your 401k and either purchase a business outright or make a down payment using an SBA loan. So we're seeing a lot of transactions happen. And actually, I've been asked a lot of questions about what is my business worth. And the way we price businesses is based on a multiple of cash flow. So it's not net income. It's not your gross profit. It's, we use the term seller's discretionary earnings, or SDE. We determine your SDE, and then based on your industry and your business and some dynamics of your business, we determine what your business value is in the market. And it's typically going to be a range, but it's going to be a range that'll give you an idea of what you could sell your business for. So if you've got some questions about what can I sell my business for, give me a call, 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ.
Okay, Chris, why do you value it regarding cash flow instead of like profit or revenue or anything like that? Why is it cash flow?
It kind of comes back to a return on your investment. So if you're getting a 3x the multiple on your cash flow, that means you're going to get a return on your investment 3 years after you purchase the business. So it really comes down to that. And again, there's a lot of variables to it, but that would be an example of how it is.
Okay. And is there a multiple or multiplier that is, you know, like you just mentioned, 3x, is that the multiplier, or does it vary from business to business?
It really varies from business to business and industry and some dynamics of the business. But if I needed to use a generic number, probably 2 to 3, meaning a 2 to 3 multiple on the cash flow, or for a buyer, 2 to 3 years before they get a return on their initial investment.
Oh, that is truly fascinating. Are you seeing people coming into the market that might have been in the corporate world, and with all the upheaval that's happened, are you seeing people that have said, it's time for me to take a little more control of my life?
Absolutely. That's our number one buyer, somebody that's probably been in the corporate world maybe 20 years, and they've got a little cash saved up, and they're tired of working for somebody else and want a little more control. And they are looking to buy businesses. Yeah, that's our number one buyer, and our number one seller are the baby boomers who are retiring and looking to sell their businesses because a family member or employees don't want to buy them. So they take it to market, and that's where I can help.
It seems to me one other thing, Chris Cantwell, that somebody has built up a business. You mentioned the baby boomers, and they have these employees that they care deeply about. And ideally, they would probably prefer to sell their business versus just, you know, close it. And so that if people are thinking about that, I would highly recommend that they reach out to you. What's that number again, Chris Cantwell?
It's 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ. Give me a call, and I can tell you what we could do in the market with your business.
Chris Cantwell, thank you so much. And you are such a valued partner of the Kim Munson Show. I greatly appreciate you.
Thanks, Kim. Have a great day.
Okay, thanks so much. Before we go to break, another one of my great partners is Hooters Restaurants. These days are so beautiful. I would recommend getting together with friends, sit out on the patio. They have great happy hour. Or if you're having friends come over, they have some great to-go specials. They've got a party pack if you're going to watch some sports. There's all kinds of great specials over there. I know they're known for their wings, but I recently had their fish and chips, and it was delicious. So for more information, go to HootersColorado.com. That's HootersColorado.com. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back with Vanessa DeMott. She is running for Colorado House District 29. Stay tuned.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
From the lakes of Minnesota
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. We'd appreciate it if you would go over to Facebook and give us a like. All kinds of information on the website. We have our voter's guide. Rick Turnquist and I collaborated on this. We worked together on this, spent a lot of time. We hope it'll be a good tool for you as you fill out your ballot. You can sign up and buy tickets for our Salon Series Voter's Guide event, which will be October 19th at Water's Edge Winery. And this week is the Western Conservative Summit. It will be on Saturday from 10 to 3. You can go to westernconservativesummit.com to sign up there as well. On the line with me is Vanessa DeMott. She is running for Colorado House District 29. Vanessa, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. How are you doing this morning?
I am good. And I've got your House District correct, right? It's 29.
You do. You sure do. House District 29, North Jeffco.
Okay. And yes, what is the area of your House District, Vanessa?
So this is all of Jefferson County, Westminster, and that east side of Arvada, everything between Wadsworth and Sheridan, going all the way down to I-70. So about 60,000 constituents, voters in there. House District.
What are you hearing out on the campaign trail? What are people concerned about, Vanessa?
How much time you got? I always say the number two things I hear. Number one, public safety. Our district loves our police. Number two is education. So when parents are now assisting in education or they've taken on homeschooling, we're really starting to look at where is this per pupil funding going? Who's getting it? Why does the state get to keep a hold of money when we're taking on the big burden? There's no longer transportation, food services. There's a lot of questions. People are really starting to look in between what government is doing, or should we say government is not doing for the people.
Now, is your opponent an incumbent?
No, my opponent is what I think we all look at as Emerge, is one of these very progressive Democrats. So it's easy for me to say we've never heard of her. We haven't. Is to my knowledge, not really somebody from my district. Moved here because that's the agenda of that group. Put them in places where there's an open seat, and that's how they fill their benches. My opponent's not from my district. I'm born and raised here. So there's some big contrast between these two candidates this year.
So your opponent just recently moved into the district. Is that correct?
My understanding is while from Colorado, was put over here, it looks like even in the past, recent past, my opponent worked for the Obama administration at the White House. So couldn't have been too recent here and couldn't have had too much of a long stance here in HD 29.
So, Vanessa DeMott, this whole Emerge program, it's been on my radar for a while. It actually was kind of under the radar, but it's been very active. We actually have linked their advisory board on our voter's guide, and you can see that it is really being governed by far-left political activist women. What is so interesting is it's been a very effective program because I think it's been somewhat under the radar because they train these women very, very well. They are far left radical progressives. However,
train, indoctrinate, you know.
Yeah. However, they know they are trained on how to talk to a crowd. I was actually at a Republican event and a city council candidate for Denver was there presenting, and the group had been very frustrated with their Democrat city council person. And so they invited this particular woman in, and she sounded like a moderate. And I checked it out then, and she was an Emerge graduate. She actually unseated the incumbent Democrat that was there, which I found super interesting because they are going in and they are taking out any kind of moderate Democrats, and they are far left, but they set them up with websites, donor lists, train them. And so I think it's very important that people understand exactly who your opponent is.
Yeah.
What is your final thought you'd like to leave with our listeners this morning, Vanessa?
You know, I say be encouraged. I say stay engaged and be encouraged because, you know, we hear all along that it's the silent majority, but obviously that silent majority is sick of being silent. And you have to pay attention because groups like this, how is this female empowerment? to knock out other people, female or not, who don't agree with you. This is not empowering females. This is taking over and pushing an agenda. These women don't have a single unique thought. If you look at their websites, like you said, this is all orchestrated. It's created. So I say pay attention, get involved, back up those candidates that you you know are going to push values of life, liberty, and property. Vanessa DeMott, my website's DeMott for Colorado. Campaigns cost money, people, and if you've got a candidate you feel strongly about, I say you get involved and you support them and do your research. Like you said, they talk great. They know how to reach a crowd, and they can pivot to whatever crowd they're in. That, I would say shapeshifters.
That is for sure. And Vanessa, I am recommending, we have 28 days now until the election. Ballots here in Colorado are going to go out at the end of the week. I'm recommending people 28 days, 4 weeks, adopt a candidate. Send them $10. If you have somebody that you like, somebody that like Vanessa that's running, send them $10. Offer to help. Could be writing thank you notes. There's a whole bunch of different things that could be done. But I assume, Vanessa, you're very adoptable, correct?
I'd like to think so. You know, Kim, and you're absolutely right. $10, because what we like to show on our reports is, hey, we have grassroots effort. We have a ton of private donors. We don't need to be helped by PACs and special interests. $10 from people in our community means more than people I will never meet from some PAC outside of Colorado. So absolutely, that's what's meaningful to Colorado candidates.
And that website is DeMott for Colorado. That is DeMottFor Colorado.com. Vanessa, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Kim. All right, take care, guys.
Okay, another very important race, and this is Dr. Donna Walter. She is running for Colorado House District 52. Donna, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you?
I am well. Tell me, what is your district, Donna?
House District 52. That is basically the east side of Fort Collins, Carpenter Road to Douglas, I-25 to College, or 287, however you want to refer to it.
Okay.
It does jut back and forth a little bit on off of College West and I-25 East, but that's the basic boundaries.
Okay. What are you hearing out on the campaign trail? What are people concerned about it?
Oh, they're mad. They want Colorado to get back open. People have lost their jobs, lost their incomes. Family businesses have lost their businesses. They're just, and schools?
Education.
Parents don't know. Yeah, they have no clue what their kids are going to be doing for education. And then the ones that are business owners that are still in business, they're paying taxes on their business. They're paying taxes on their home. And they can't afford to do anything but send their children to public school. So that's one of the items I'm going to be working on, is that money will follow the child.
Okay. Now, Donna, if I'm correct, I think that your opponent is an incumbent, correct?
No, this is a new seat. This is an open seat. She has been down there, but she was not elected.
Okay, because I was thinking that she was one of those that had voted for the to let people die alone, but maybe I was incorrect on that. Let me check that.
No, you're correct. She voted for that, and I guess what it was, part of the Cruel 17.
Part of the Cruel 17, yes. And to explain that to people, during this COVID-19 Wuhan virus, we know many stories of people dying alone in a hospital without their loved ones near them. We actually, back in May, Steve Ryder was on the show. His wife, Elizabeth, 40 years old, died of cardiac arrest after over about 20 days in the hospital, and neither he nor her mother or her children were able to be there. And so over in the Senate, there was a piece of legislation that was proposed. It passed unanimously in the Senate that no one should die alone during this pandemic. However, over in the House, Donna, I was astonished to see that there were 17 Democrat legislators that voted to let people die alone. Your opponent is one of them. That is the one reason right there to make sure that Dr. Donna Walter goes down to the State House to vote for Donna. Your comment?
That's one of the big differences between her and I. I want to represent the people of Fort Collins and the people of Colorado. And my opponent, Kathy Kemp, is just another drone who everything the governor wants or her caucus wants, lock and step, follows them. Whatever she's ordered to do, that's what she will serve and do.
You know, and that is what has been so interesting to me, Donna. This Democrat Party is no longer the party of JFK. It has been moving so far to the left, and there's really been no room for moderate Democrats in there anymore. And it's important that people understand that. And clearly, voting to let people die alone means you don't really care about people. Dr. Donna Walter, how can people get more information about you?
DonnaWalter.com. And as you, I listened to you earlier, yes, we all need money at these, especially to do the things that we need to do these final days. And this is an open seat. This is one that we need this real estate back.
If that's for sure.
Can't look at it any other way. So DonnaWalter.com.
And again, I imagine you are adoptable. I'm recommending that people adopt a candidate these next 28 days and help them. And I know you're very adoptable as well.
Yes, you don't even have to live right here, just in the U.S.
to help you out, that's for sure. Dr. Donna Walter, thank you so much. Again, that website is Donna Walter, DonnaWalter.com. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Are you running for office?
Oh, thank goodness for the state, no.
What is happening now what's the market saying about President Trump getting out of the hospital? And my gosh, the mainstream media is going crazy because President Trump is out of the hospital. He's recovering from COVID, and he says you do not need to be afraid of COVID. So what is the market saying?
Well, the market was pretty happy yesterday, for sure. The Dow is up over 400. NASDAQ had a nice move. This morning, the futures are up about 125 points. So I don't know if all of that's because of Trump getting out of the hospital, but I have to imagine, excuse me, Kim, that at least part of it is. So, yeah, I would say the verdict is out on Trump's release, and it's positive as far as the market's concerned. I understand it's disconcerting and not a happy day for some out there, but the market did like it.
You know, and it is amazing to me that if anybody is ever rooting for someone's demise, they should probably maybe take a gut check on just who they are exactly. I find this absolutely astonishing when I've watched some of the mainstream media and probably people out there as well. But let's pivot over because baby boomers are getting to the point where, you know, they have invested for growth, but they're getting to the point where they're going to need to have income. And you say something about fund day or something. I can't remember what you say, Jason McBride. What is
that? Well, I call it the play check.
A play check. Okay.
Right.
And you have another one of your colleagues that's really kind of specializes in helping people with that.
Well, John Avery, again, has been with our firm longer than anybody else there at this point. Including me, actually. I'm
I didn't know that was
place.
Possible.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Point. Yeah, I know. Boy, that's twice. I had taken flack from Steve over my age, and then you, too. This is a rough day.
Well, I figured that you joined the firm when you were probably 20.
Uh-huh.
How's that? Is that a good cover?
Well, I don't know. I still might be old, according to you.
But, okay.
You know.
Well, so John Avery's been there longer than you, Jason.
That's true. That's true. Now, one of the things to think about once you're trying to head for retirement and make a paycheck out of your money is how much risk are you taking, and are you taking too much? You know, Kim, when you're not using the money yet, when you're just still in kind of the build-up phase, yeah, it's still not fun. It's still emotionally difficult when the market hits a rough patch and your money maybe drops 20, 30% or, you know, even more, you know, back in 2008 and in other times. I mean, there have been many instances when the market has been cut in half or so, and that could be very disconcerting. You know, Kim, the problem is once you're actually using the money for income, you're drawing off of it, you know, when you get a drop like that, there's two big problems. One is emotionally, it's much, much worse to see that happening when you're depending on the money. So you may end up making a very poor decision and selling out right at the bottom, only to see the market recover, and you're not part of it. That's not only emotionally damaging, but number two, it's mathematically very painful as well for two reasons. One, if the market's way down and you're still forced to draw off of that money to pay your bills, well, you're drawing down your money much, much quicker than you had hoped. And that could cause some big problems going forward, too. So John can give you some help on figuring out how much risk you really should be taking. And again, Kim, it's different for everybody. Some folks maybe have a pension, or they have other sources of income where maybe their investments aren't as critical for income. And then you've got folks that are going to need to lean on it a lot more. Also, it could just be your personal taste. How much brain damage do you want to put up with?
For sure. So what is John's phone number, Jason?
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of John is just give him a call on his direct line. Again, that's John Avery at Presidential Wealth Management with me, 303-749-2765. That's John Avery, 303-749-2765.
Okay, I recommend people give John a call if you want to move from growth over to income. Jason, thanks so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right. Have a great show, Kim.
You bet. We're going to go to break. When we come back, Richard Barris, he is with Big Data Poll, is on the line, and he has some very interesting things to tell us. We'll be right back.
Metropolitan Total Property is more than landscaping. Locally owned and operated since 1987, their team is proud to be your neighbor and live in the community. Metropolitan Total Property stands behind their work, and your complete satisfaction is their top priority. Kim Munson highly recommends Metropolitan Total Property for landscaping and more. She was one of their very first clients way back in 1987. Be sure to check out MetropolitanTotalProperty.com for their complete menu of services. Again, that's MetropolitanTotalProperty.com.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. On the website is our voter's guide. Rick Turnquest and I went through all of the questions on the Colorado ballot and came up with recommendations. So that is there. We hope that will be a great tool for you. Ballots are probably going to be mailed starting this coming Friday. So be an informed voter. If you're not an informed voter, then either become one or don't vote. We want to make sure that you understand all the issues. But on the line with me right now is Richard Barris. He is the director of Big Data Poll. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me. I appreciate being here.
So you have been out there talking about some of the polling that you've done. Tell our listeners, first of all, well, I don't know quite where to start. I think I want to ask you, how do you do this polling? Because we continue to hear that there's polls that say that Biden is ahead of Trump by a significant number. How are these polls conducted, Richard?
So most of the big media polls that you are hearing about, you know, we saw the NBC over the weekend, there's a CNN out this morning, shows a large lead, a little bit bigger than the one that Hillary Clinton had over Trump in 2016. But these are polls, I will say, most of these polls are conducted through live caller, which is to cell phone and to landlines, and they do heavily favor cell phone collection. There are, you take the good and you take the bad with each data collection mode. That is certainly not the only one, but it is the media preferred one. And they have each one, you know, online or IVR or live caller, they have their upsides and they have their downsides. And with live caller, in our experience, and I think this has been borne out now over the last three, really, election cycles, the live caller mode tends to skew heavily women and heavily metro. So you're much more likely to get a certain group of voters as far as what is their partisan affiliation or even their ideology. They're much more women and more metro voters are just more likely to take those surveys. Other voters have to be goaded a little bit more. They have to be prodded to respond. So each group of people respond at different rates to each of these modes.
Okay, so just to clarify, these polls, these big media polls, typically it is a poll where they reach someone, a live caller, and they go through the questions there. You said it's primarily women in the metro area, which we know right here in Colorado, in the Denver metro area, that has been a challenge for President Trump with that college-educated woman. And you say that that's primarily maybe how those polls are skewed. What about the questions on a poll? Can you put questions there to move you to a certain candidate? Or I guess people would probably, Trump or Biden, I guess that would answer that. What would that be, Richard?
Yeah, that's a great question. We see that a lot, too, and that's a real shame. This is something that everybody in the industry really does know. Survey wording and question ordering can have an enormous impact on the poll. We don't ask anything outside of what may be in our likely voter model. How certain are you to vote? How likely are you to vote? Are you registered and eligible? We call off of voter files to make sure. So we're not guessing, but we do still ask people to validate that we have who is on the voter file. And then, of course, right after those questions comes the vote preference. And if you ask anything from issues to, you know, how much Trump tweets or Biden said this the other day, you could dramatically influence the survey results, what a respondent tells you, because you'll almost shame them into picking the answer that they think you want them to pick. So it happens more often than we think. Everybody knows this, Kim, and that's the real shame. We see it a lot.
Do people say that they'll vote one way on a survey and possibly vote a different way? Because don't people feel like if they give their word, so if they actually say to a pollster, I'm voting for X, when they actually get to the ballot, do they normally vote for X? Or how does that work out, Richard?
Generally, most do. The problem is we just polled in Florida, and actually it was from the 27th of September to the 29th, so we'll poll it again before the election. We actually had Trump up there a little bit. We also had DeSantis and Rick Scott up in 2018. We had Trump up in 2016. Florida's becoming increasingly difficult, or at least the polling is increasingly inaccurate. We had Trump up a little bit, not a big lead, 1.6, and we asked voters how comfortable they were discussing their political beliefs and being honest and trustworthy with different groups of people, including how you intend to vote. And we asked Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everybody, every group from family and friends to coworkers, neighbors, and pollsters and strangers. And what we found is specifically more conservative-leaning Independents. Overall, 44% of Independents told us they were at least somewhat uncomfortable. About 22% said somewhat, and another 22% said very uncomfortable. So, and you would notice that is obvious, a large group of undecideds or a large group of people who do not tell you unless you nudge them, are you leaning one way or the other? So just from a statistician point of view, that's a tremendous hurdle when you have that many people uncomfortable or unwilling to be honest and trustworthy.
That seems like that would bode well for Trump, though, because I had a friend recently that said that that there was four guys and two were Biden supporters, two were Trump supporters, and they got to a point where they're like, you know what, we need to just stop not talking politics because our friendship is really important. But one of the guys said, before we do that, though, How about this? How about we trade cars for 72 hours? And we have your car, you have our car. And you put Biden stickers on our car, and we'll put Trump stickers on your car, and we'll go park them in downtown Denver for 72 hours, and we'll see what happens to them. I thought that was a very interesting proposal, Richard Barris.
Yeah, we even asked people in Florida whether they thought there was a large percentage, a significant number, is how we worded it, of voters who are unwilling or afraid to admit that they are voting for Donald Trump. And 64% in Florida told us yes. And when we asked about that comfort question, we did this on purpose because of the debate over, well, how could there be a shy vote if there are so many yard signs for Trump everywhere? And what we really found, what the data showed, was that there would be more yard signs. We spoke to one person who was even in rural Florida, small town in Micanopy, Florida, small business owner in 2016. They had signs and banners everywhere, he said. It's a family business, but they have removed all but one small little placard because they're afraid of getting a brick through their window. So I think that sometimes we don't realize how real this is because maybe some of us aren't familiar with the experiences of the other side, right? So it's easy to dismiss it, but for him and his family and the family business, it was very real. So they removed all of those signs. So the argument there is that it really just doesn't hold water. There is no doubt people who are uncomfortable showing their political beliefs, they just don't think it's worth it. Like you said, they want to step away from it. They're going to vote how they're going to vote, but they don't think it's worth it.
But what's so Richard, what's so interesting to me is a business that is a Biden supporter does not have to worry about a brick coming through their window, which to me, it's like, why would people vote for a party that has been it threatens destruction, it's fomenting division? I don't quite understand that. I know that that's not within the polling data, but do you have a comment on that? I'm just a little flabbergasted on that, Richard.
We're seeing this big gap between the percentage of people who tell us they at least somewhat approve of the president in the battleground states and the share that say they're going to vote for him. And we find this funny because usually incumbent presidents, their vote performance actually outperforms their approval rating a little bit. In this case, Trump's vote share, or at least in the polling, seems to lag it. And we can't help but to think that those are just, there you have it, that 3 to 5%. It seems like an awful lot to me, but it's there in every poll we do, in Florida and Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania. It's everywhere. And that is not the historical norm. So we're wondering if it's just easier this year. It's just easier to be a Biden supporter. And there does seem to be at least some segment of the electorate. They like Trump's policy, but the Biden campaign has made, and we don't know what else to call it, so we're calling it the decency argument. You're not a decent person if you vote for Donald Trump. You may like his policies, but you're not a decent person. And because it's a character issue to them, or so they say. And that does seem to have some impact, whether or not they get into a voting booth or they get their ballot in the mail, whether or not when they're alone they cast their ballot based on what that argument, is trying to convey. That remains to be seen. I'm skeptical, to say the least. I really am. I think that we're looking at a relatively tight race right now, regardless of what the media polls say.
Okay. Hey, Richard Barris, the director of Big Data Poll. Let's go to break. When we come back, continue the conversation to see what you're finding as you are doing your polling. Before we do that, though, another one of my great partners is Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are a family-owned business. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. And I actually have gotten several beautiful knife sets for wedding gifts. People are starting to get married again, which is just wonderful. But they have knives for collectors, military personnel. If you're a sportsman, you need to have that great knife in your tool chest there as well. So be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. I'm talking with Richard Barris. He is the director of Big Data Poll. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. It'll have all the upcoming guests, our most recent Sounding Off with Kim Munson podcasts, our most recent op-eds. Be sure and join us for our great Salon Series Voters Guide event over at Water's Edge Winery on October 19th. You can buy your tickets at the website as well. And we're going to be doing a great event with the I'm a Trumpster guys, and that will be on October 17th. Stay tuned to the website. We're going to have details on that very soon. On the line with me is Richard Barris. He is the director of Big Data Poll. Richard, this is so fascinating. You were recently highlighted in The Hill that you predicted that the election will be decided in the Rust Belt states. Why?
Right. So we did just poll Florida. And again, Florida's not been very accurate as far as polling goes in the last three cycles. It would be extremely difficult to beat Donald Trump, even if this is an election that he loses. It will be extremely difficult to beat him in Florida. Demographically, the groups he's improved with are exactly what you need to do in Florida. It could turn on him in the next couple of weeks, but it would be tough. The Democrats' advantage there is now down to 183,000 officially, but we get a little bit more updates than what we see publicly from Secretary of State, and it's actually down now to about 153. That is the lowest registration edge we've seen ever since 1972, when party ID began to be tracked by voter registration in that state, which brings us really to the Rust Belt. It brings us, and even more specifically, to Pennsylvania. We've polled Ohio twice. Again, I understand other media polls there. In 2018, there wasn't a single university or media poll that gave Mike DeWine a lead. So another state that has significant problems. We have Trump up there by about 6 points in Ohio and about 3 points in Iowa, which is close and closer than in 2016. But it still was a significant lead because of the population, the size of the population. That really brings us to Pennsylvania. Michigan and Wisconsin are hard states for a Republican to win. What he did in 2016 was an incredible feat. And Pennsylvania and or even Minnesota could be a sleeper this election cycle. Those were always a little bit easier lifts, a little bit lighter for a Republican, even though most of the attention went to Michigan and Wisconsin. So I really do think that's where it's going to come down. And Pennsylvania most specifically, because it's just more, I don't know what the word is, but it's more tailored to Trump's message.
Richard, Patty, my researcher, had found a headline from the Detroit News that said that the high court strikes down Whitmer's emergency powers and the governor vows to use other means. I would think that people would look at Whitmer, Democrat, draconian, and that would bode well for Trump in Michigan. What's your thoughts on that?
So those extended lockdowns did a lot of damage to, and as you know, it really, they didn't have a statewide problem. They had a Wayne County problem. And those rather draconian lockdowns kept now the insured unemployment rate in the 20s, in the low 20s. And three of the metro areas outside and around Detroit had the highest insured unemployment rate in the country. Three out of the five came from Michigan. We call it the media assist, Kent. Really, that's what we call it, the media handicap or the media assist. If not for them, it would be a lot harder to make that argument. But they do have them helping. So that's up to, you know, it's always a little bit more difficult for the Republicans to get that message out. And that's up for them. That's really up for them to do, which is why, again, we see Democrats this time really focus on, like I said before, the decency argument. We haven't heard much about policy at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been a policy debate from the left. I mean, that's just an objective fact. They haven't made a rational policy argument. How are we going to make your lives better? They have just run what is essentially, you know, shame campaign. So cognitive bias campaign, which is you're a bad person if you vote for him. And, you know, believe it or not, it can be effective with certain groups of people.
What about the debate? Of course, that seems a long time ago since the President Trump contracted the coronavirus, was in the hospital, he got out. But it seemed like a bit of a strategy that both Biden and Chris Wallace, when Trump wanted to talk about policy, you know, how these policies have helped people, that they jumped in and talked over him. What's your thoughts on that, Richard?
Yeah, if you go back and look at the tape, you know, there was a very calm and you want to use the word presidential answer from Trump in the first exchange. And then the second question went to Biden. It was really on Trump's third term, the third question, Trump's second turn, that Biden interrupted three times. And then they started to spar. When Chris Wallace jumped in, that's when the president redirected his strategy. So, I understand that a lot of people, you know, threw that on Trump. The fact of the matter is Trump's never done better in post-debate polling. He got crushed in the post-debate polling with Hillary Clinton in 2016. The CBS poll, it was pretty close, 47-41. That was 60 to 30, roughly, or 60 plus to 30 plus in 2016. So I just don't think in the end debates have that much sway, not as much as they used to. You know, they'll tell the Washington Post poll 30% could change their mind. We just don't believe that. We don't see that. In the end, 7 to 9% are truly persuadable, and then it's really who is going to go and vote. And that is where a lot of fundamental problems the polls are showing. They just can't project the electorate the way they used to. And the NBC, they didn't even take a crack at it over the weekend. That was a registered voter poll in the beginning of October. All polls at this point should be likely voters. It is your job as a pollster to project who is going to come out and vote.
What about all this mail-in voting? We're seeing how, in essence, that could affect an election, and that the Democrats out here in Colorado, the Secretary of State, who is a far-left progressive woman, actually was calling on the media not to call the election on November 3rd, which that indicated to me that a bunch of this polling must be showing that Trump is going to win on November 3rd, because if they thought Biden was going to win on November 3rd, they wouldn't be out there saying that. Your thoughts, Richard?
So from we've polled now 6 Rust Belt states, New Hampshire and Florida. And when we began to really get into the season after Labor Day, it became really clear why all of this mail-in voting was being pushed. And I would agree that the election probably will not be called on election night. If Donald Trump wins Florida, then we won't know for sure for weeks and weeks. Ohio can't start counting some of their absentees until 10 days. Pennsylvania is going to be a calamitous affair. It will not be like anything we've seen before. But polling these states, when we got into these states, we started to see why this was the case this time, and it's not COVID. Trump voters are much more certain to vote. They're much more likely to vote. He dominates in every enthusiasm category. When you ask what your motivation is, so are you voting for your candidate or against the candidate's opponent? Trump has 70 to 90 people who say, 90% who say, we're voting for our guy. And Joe Biden is the complete opposite. Actually, he's less. He's more like 60-40 in most states. But the bottom line is, if it was a traditional election, then the likely voting electorate would be much more favorable to Donald Trump. But I would caution everybody and tell everybody to keep in mind, this is going to be a quagmire. Most states, you're in Colorado. Florida is my state, and then also North Carolina split my time. But in Florida, we've been doing absentee ballots for a while. We should have at least some idea by election night how it's going, even though it'll be later in the night. Colorado, they have been mailing for a while, right? Arizona, usually 80%. But these Rust Belt states and North Carolina, what they did here, they're not built for this, and they've never done it before. So to pretend like they could put together this infrastructure in a matter of weeks
It's impossible.
Ludicrous, and everybody knows it. Yeah, it's going to be a quagmire. I just warn everybody about it.
Okay, what should people do? We've got just about a minute and a half, Richard. So what point do you want to make sure that you make to our listeners this morning?
So the race, from our perspective, from our point of view, I would say, you know, because Biden is a little bit stronger in the Rust Belt than Hillary Clinton was, that Biden has, I would say, a slight edge, but Trump is an incumbent president, and incumbents are very difficult to beat, and their voters tend to come out for them disproportionately. You can go back the last 30 years and see that to be the case. That's why we've only had two incumbents really lose in modern American politics. The electorates that polls are projecting are not in line mostly with what we see. And for instance, in Florida, much more Republican than people think. So, you know, we see a much closer race. That's what I would stress.
Okay, so people, our friends, do not give up. This is really important. This is the election, I think, of our lifetimes. Richard Barris, this has been absolutely fascinating. I so appreciate the conversation. Will you be doing, when's your next poll, very quickly?
We're doing Pennsylvania right now. We'll have Pennsylvania out probably by latest Monday. But if we can shoot for the weekend, we will. But we like collecting during the weekend. So looks like Monday will be Pennsylvania and then Arizona after that.
Okay. Well, we'll get you back on as we get closer to November 3rd then.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Kim. All the best.
You bet. Thank you so much. And again, our quote today was from Benjamin Disraeli. He said, the tone and tendency of liberalism is to attack the institutions of the country under the name of reform and to make war on the manners and customs of the people under the pretext of progress. So today, my friends, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. I was thinking what I wanted to say, and that is adopt a candidate. And my friends, God bless you, and God bless America.